at what rate do you think that a hypothetical bank could borrow money from another hypothetical bank? And that was the question that was asked of all these different banks. And they came up with a number. They said, okay, well, one bank could lend to another bank for a certain number. And you take the 12 banks, and that blended number was LIBOR. And then they thought, okay, let's make this number objective. And this is how they decided to make it an objective, a real number as opposed to a hypothetical number. And that was, at what rate do you think that you could obtain a loan from one bank to the other? So in other words, they took the hypothetical, kind of a hypothetical prime bank, and changed it to what do you, as your bank, what could you borrow money at? So this whole thing, as you can think of, if I am a bank and I am telling the world what I can borrow money at, there is a credit component to that. And if I can't borrow money at a low rate, that says something about the risk of my bank. And now you're supposed to have this wall between the people who answered this question and the money side of the bank. And everybody was a little bit worried that there could be fraud and manipulation because of this tension between the answers you'd give and the market capitalization of a particular bank. So, let's fast forward all the way to 2008. LIBOR is now being used by lots and lots of people. And like when I started practicing law, nobody used LIBOR. And what you used was, when I first started, if you had a floating rate note, you used prime. And it was the bank who was making the loans prime, not even an objective prime. And then people go, oh, well, I want a more objective prime. And they started using Wall Street Journal prime, which is a group of, you take 70 banks and kind of come up with what they say they make the loan to their best customers at. All kinds of problems with that. But that's what was going on. Then all of a sudden, I started hearing my clients saying, hey, I want the big boy rate. I want that grown-up rate that people are using in England. And it's a really cool rate, and I want it. And that's how we got to the idea of everybody using LIBOR. Okay, so let's fast forward now to 2008, and there is a market crisis. And Barclays is one of the banks that is asked these questions, at what rate can you borrow money at? And the trader at Barclays answered honestly and gave a number. And the number was high because there was a meltdown. It makes sense that the number was high. Well, everybody else's number was low. Barclays' number was high. And they took a huge market, overnight market hit. Then the next day when they were asked that exact same question, nothing has changed. It's just a day has passed. The next day happens and they're asked the question again. And miraculously, that number went way down. Well, that was pretty suspicious and kind of got people thinking that what they had been thinking about these rates being fixed may actually have been true. And that started a whole bunch of investigations and billions of dollars later, after multiple banks, every bank you know was caught up in the LIBOR scandal, and they all ended up in lawsuits. They all ended up paying billions of dollars of money to pay off people who had been hurt by that scandal. But what came out of that was the Financial Conduct Authority in London, in England, said, we need a report done to find out if LIBOR can even be saved. I mean, this is a really important rate, but can it be saved? Is the damage irreparable? Is the rate bad? And so they got a guy named Martin Wheatley, who was the managing director of the Financial Services Authority and was the CEO of the Financial Conduct Authority. And he issued a report. And it's called the Wheatley Review Final Report, and it came out in September of 2012. And he came up with all kinds of things to fix LIBOR. And if those of you who are, you know, before 2012, you used to see a thing that was called BBA LIBOR. And that was the British Banking Association's number. That was their LIBOR number. And the British Banking Association is a trade association. It's just like the Mortgage Bankers Association. And they were in charge of determining what LIBOR would be. Well, after Martin Wheatley got done with his report, the Financial Conduct Authority said, we will regulate LIBOR. We, a government agency, will regulate LIBOR to be sure that it's fair and that the people who are answering this question report to us. And if they lie, you know, there is some recourse. And then they also turned the administration over to a company called ICE. And so now you see it's called ICE LIBOR. And for the most part, it seems to be that all the fraud was taken care of. But what happened? Why are we now making LIBOR go away? It's not fraudulent. And the reason LIBOR is going away is not so long ago, I would say in 2010, thereabouts, banks stopped financing their cash needs by borrowing from other banks. There was no more interbank offerings. So that's not how they finance anymore. In the United States, you go to the Fed funds window. There are many other ways to finance, and they don't borrow very often from each other. Given that, and this is happening all over the world, and there's all kinds of reasons for it that we could get into. But the main thing is the number of actual market transactions of banks loaning to other banks